gifts and Christmas go together like turkey and stuffing, or roast beef and Yorkshire pudding, whatever's your thing. They are synonymous. And in our culture, gifts have become an absolutely fundamental part of what Christmas is to so many people. Anyone here perhaps expecting a few gifts, one or two gifts over the Christmas period? Any of the younger ones? A lot of the older younger ones at the back have got their hands up. Of course, that's what people expect. But that culture has exploded in recent decades. Do you know that this year it's anticipated that in the UK we will spend £19 billion just on Christmas gifts? And most of them will be spent in Richard's household, I think. But if you've got children, if you've got grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and I'm looking at Vera as well, great-great-grandchildren, then you're probably aware that in many situations, it's not a case of one or two gifts, it's a case of one or two piles of gifts. And certainly in my nephew and niece's house, they get so many gifts, it takes them 2 days to work their way through unwrapping them. Though to be fair, they are incredibly disciplined, and they will open one or two and then come back an hour later and then do two more, which is, I think, is remarkable, isn't it? Lots of presents. Just one problem. With that comes lots of pressure. Although sometimes children do their very best to try to relieve that pressure. Like the little boy who ran into the kitchen and, holding a box in his hands, out of breath, said to his mum, "You need to tell Santa Claus not to bother with that train set that I ordered." "Yeah, I found this one upstairs on the top shelf of Dad's wardrobe." And sometimes, of course, we don't really help ourselves, do we? Have you heard of the lady who waited until the very last minute to send her Christmas cards? She had 49 people on the list. So she rushed out, went to the shop and bought a pack of 50 cards without really looking at what was on them properly. And then she took them home, she wrote out the addresses and signed them all and sent them off. Didn't look at what she was already written inside the card. Christmas Day. And finally, things quietened down a little bit. And she happened to come across the one remaining card and opened it and read the words that she had sent to 49 of her friends, which to her horror said, "This card is just to say a little gift is on the way." The gift of Christmas, or is it the pressure of gifts at Christmas? But I don't think it has always been that way. If I can not be too impolite, I suspect there are quite a few older people here who remember a simpler time. Yes, when Christmas wasn't quite as crazy as it was. My dad was born in the 1930s, so he was a child during the Second World War. And I spoke to him this week and he said, you know, in that day, the great preparation as far as gifts were concerned for us was putting up your stocking. If it didn't go in the stocking, you weren't going to get it. That was it. And he spoke about that one occasion with delight when he put his hand in and he took out both an apple and an orange. Wow. Simpler times. And they may have been simple gifts, but they were given meaningfully, and they were given by someone who was expressing their love in giving that gift. That is God's idea of a gift at Christmas. Incredibly meaningful and proof absolute of his love. So much so that, in fact, you could sum it all up in one single verse in the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's some gift. And I want to think a little bit about that for a moment. But before we do, let's watch another video. And in this video, you get to consider, well, the nature of some of the gifts that we might give compared to the gift that God gives. Enjoy this.
Christmas presents are exciting. Do you remember what you'd say is the best gift you've ever received at Christmas? I asked my kids this question, and here's what they said. My 6-year-old loved her little talkie doll that could talk, blink, and not much else. Cost a whopping $110 after tax, and it lasted for a solid 8 months before it found its way to the back of her closet. My 9-year-old said his favorite was the popular fantasy book series, 6 books in all, each getting progressively longer. The set cost $58 and lasted 8 weeks before it lived its final dust-filled existence on a shelf. Now my tween loved the Brainy Putty collection that cost $32 and lasted a measly 8 days before it went to live in our carpet. Finally, my teenage son wanted the ultimate drone with a 4K camera. It cost the most and lasted the shortest amount of time. I'd like to say it lasted 8 minutes, but no, it was 8 seconds, which is only impressive in bull riding. As exciting as those gifts are, what if there was a gift at Christmas that was far better? In fact, so much better that it makes these look like, well, toys. What if this gift was worth so much that no one could buy it for you, nor could you afford it? What if it was something of extreme value, like, say, life itself? And what if this gift was given through the birth of a baby who became our paid in full? That's the gift offered to all. It costs us nothing, him everything. It lasts just a bit longer than 8 seconds, 8 days, 8 weeks, or even 8 months. It lasts forever.
Well, I want to think a little bit about that by looking at just 8 words that tell us an awful lot about God's gift at Christmas. But 8 words, just words, what's a word? So what? Well, I want to ask a question. I want to ask this question. What does God's gift, given 2,000 years ago in the form of a vulnerable baby, what does that really mean to you and me today in these challenging days as we're about to enter 2019? So let's have a look at the box, which is God's Christmas box. And let's open it and let's see what's in it. And the first word I want to bring out is the word love. Now, love is something we all want to show at Christmas, isn't it? Of course we do. The season of goodwill, so we try to show love to one another. But you know that after the batteries start to fail in one or two toys, after the food doesn't quite work out, you know the tempers will show that's not what it could be. Human love is fickle. It changes according to our feelings, according to the challenging, tough things that we go through in life, according to how busy we are. I realized that myself this week when I realized I'd forgotten someone's anniversary card who's really important, supposedly, to me. Life gets busy and we get imperfect. Wonder whether any of you have been in a situation where you know you're tired and you said the wrong thing, or you've forgotten to do what you promised you would do. We love someone, but we're human. Or perhaps you're the person who someone who really loves you has forgotten to send their birthday card to you. Or they just don't have the time that you really need them to give you to listen. This advert I'm going to show you on the screen is something that really makes me smile that makes this point. It's very short. Don't blink or you'll miss it. Listen carefully.
I'm never going to find the one.
Probably not. Bye.
Hello?
It'd have been lovely if we'd had pictures with that. Should we try again? I will not be defeated by this thing.
I'm never going to find the one.
Probably not. Bye.
Never mind. Watch The Friends, that rerun on Channel 5 something or whatever it is, and you'll see it regularly. The point is, friends are not always there for you. Loved ones are not. But God's love is not like that. The picture that we get painted in the Bible is so very, very different. Because God's love is demonstrated when he reached out into this world of people who rejected him, ignored him. People who are so engrossed in their own lives, they convince themselves they don't need him. And he gave his son anyway. And he did so knowing that his son would also be rejected, arrested, abused, beaten, falsely accused, crucified. And he did that because he loves us. That is God's love. It is not dependent on feelings. It's not dependent on him remembering you. It's not dependent on him having time for you, because he has all of those things. God promises never to leave you or forsake you, which is why some of the last verses, the words that Jesus said to his disciples before he went back to heaven, where he continues to intercede for his people, was to say, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. That's the reality that so many of us as God's people have experienced. And when we are going through the toughest of times, whether it be illness, relationship issues like the woman you didn't see in the advert, when we go through things that are hurting, God is always there. He always listens. He's always eager when we ask him to step in and help. One of the biggest problems in our society today is loneliness. And yet, through this Christmas gift, God says a message that is so powerful. And he speaks through this message and just says, but I know you. You matter to me. I love you. And I gave my son for you. That's God's love. Hope is the next one. I'm working my way around the candles if you hadn't recognized that. Human hope. That's another one, isn't it? That's an interesting thing for us. Hope is all about us trying to kind of hope that things will work out. It's the thing that we would like to see work out, but we have no certainty of. Yesterday, I spent pretty much the whole day fixing a polycarbonate roof onto a storage area at the back of the garage. Did you hear the wind and the rain howling last night? So my hope was when I got up this morning, the roof would still be there and not in someone's garden way down the street. And the good news, it was. See, I can do DIY sometimes. As a nation, I think we struggle with this. The nation seems to be really struggling to maintain hope when it comes to, dare I say it, the Brexit talks. Yeah. Is anybody in this room confident that it is all going to work out? And you know exactly what is going to happen on the 29th of March next year. Anyone confident? No, I didn't think so. That's human hope. It's kind of wishful thinking. And we have no control over it. The hope of Jesus isn't wishful thinking, because it's based on the certainty of God's promise. Promises that he has proven again and again. God is good for his word. Like the words of Micah, written 500-600 years before Jesus that was born, that stated precisely where he would be born, in Bethlehem. That's the where. Then the words of Isaiah, who spoke about the how, be born to the virgin, written hundreds of years before Jesus was born. People cannot give you that level of accuracy. It is just not possible for us to predict this hundreds of years before. But that's what we get in our Bibles again and again. God fulfilling the promises that he makes. And it's testified to by all those people in Scripture. Do you realize when you're reading the Bible, you are reading history, not collated by one person, but around 40 different authors written over 1,500 years. Each one saying, let me tell you what I saw. This is my eyewitness account. When it comes to God's gift of Christmas, what's in the Christmas box? He does what it says on the tin. He delivers. And he has promised that Jesus will come again. He promises there is more in this life. As the video reminded us, unlike the toys that unfortunately we so often send in this world, they don't last for very long, but God's gift continues. Because the baby grew to a man. The man gave his life and was crucified, but that was not the end. And he rose again from the dead so that those who believe him would have the same future. This is not the end. Which means we don't need to go through this life striving, attempting to somehow prove our existence as worthwhile, prove ourselves compared to anybody else. There is more. There's no limited warranty with God's gift. It won't break. You don't have to put new batteries in it. There's no requirement for a software update. And the owner who gives it will not be going out of business, because God is the genuine article. Hope, in God's eyes, is not wishful thinking. It is a divine promise. And it means that one day we look forward to the fact of him coming back. No need to stress as we work through this life. And that, by the way, means that Brexit is not the be-all and end-all. Because God has a bigger picture and he wants you to be in it. Next word, joy. Joy, when most of us think about joy, Christmas time, we're thinking about parties, we're thinking about celebration. Any of you getting together for a party with family, with friends, or somewhere else this Christmas? No. Wow, how depressing. That is not the response I expected. Blimey, can they all come round to our house? I'm sure you're being understated there. But the reality is, for most of us, that's the idea of joy at Christmas. Some kind of celebration with people. And that's a good thing. And I want to encourage you if you've got something planned. But I want to remind you that Christmas is not joyful for everybody. It's not joyful for those for whom this is a time of sadness, who are going through illness, those who are struggling with hardship. So God's idea of joy is deeper. It's bigger than that. It's more than just the kind of happiness of feeling good when you turn the lights on that somehow extend these long winter nights to being something less. It is not temporary happiness. And it's not going to come to an end. With Jesus, joy is deeper. And it's not dependent on how we're feeling. And it's not dependent on our circumstances. It comes when we appreciate the magnitude of who God really is and what he's done. Knowing his absolutely unconditional love, his unending goodness, consistency, faithfulness, dependability, and finding an inner contentment and fulfillment that comes with that. Because no matter what comes in life, we have that sense with us that God is somehow holding it all together. Let me tell you, it's one of the biggest comforts I have when I look at this appalling mess of Brexit. I do believe God is somehow sovereign above all of that mess as well. And I have been through dark times myself. I have known what it is like to go through things that are so difficult that eventually people stop coming to you and stop encouraging you and say, Steve, really would understand if you run away because this situation is not good. And I've known what it is to have that sense, but God's got this sorted. And I have known what it is for God to do the miraculous and turn a seemingly impossible situation round and make it amazing, because that's the God I've come to understand. And there are people in this room tonight who know that through prayer, God has brought healing to your situation when you've known near constant pain. That's the God who I understand. Because Jesus is the genuine article. And I am not suggesting for one minute that that means he's going to turn every situation around. I'm not suggesting that when you're in the black moments that you should be full of happiness. Oh, it's so nice. I'm delighted with my broken leg. Of course that's not the situation. And it doesn't mean that God is going to end very quickly some of the challenges that we face. What it does mean is that he knows and he will be there. And I'm encouraged by something he says in the Bible. He says, I will never give you more than you can cope with. And I will take that, because no politician and no loved one is ever going to make the same offer to me and keep it. And finally, briefly, the final word in the Christmas box is peace. And to avoid confusion, this is not the peace as in an end to all conflict. It would be good if Jesus came to stop all conflict, but he didn't come to take away all people. So sadly, conflict continues. No, the peace that he speaks about is the peace that comes when we know our situation with God is right. When we know that those things that we've messed up in life are put correct. When we know that that link with him has been changed so that we have a future, so that we know his presence with us at any time, so that we know that those things that where we have messed up, and in my life, believe me, I have messed up and I have let people down, but I know that God doesn't hold those things against me. He's the God who gives forgiveness. Do you know, in this world, this Christmas, one of the reasons that so many people have immense regret and sadness at Christmas time is they look around and they see what seemingly lovely things people have all around them. And they know that somehow they don't have that, perhaps because of decisions they've made, regrets. The peace that comes with God is one that says you don't need to carry that. There is no guilt with God. He says that's what Jesus took with him to the cross, so you don't need to. That's the peace of Christmas. Put all that together, we have a life that can be free of past mistakes, that wipes the slate clean. And how does it come? Through that one verse. How do we get this love, hope, joy, peace, and understand it? Through two words in that verse, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus came, he lived, he died, and he did it for you, and he offers you a gift. Maybe this Christmas is time to open that gift. See what he wants to bless you with. May God bless you all this Christmas.